Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another exciting episode of Thriller Podcast. Today we are talking Oracle.
That's right.
Verge.
Oh, yeah.
Crypto Candy. And finally, in our main topic, we're discussing the dinosaur attack on crypto.
That's right.
Thriller Podcast starting now.
Welcome to Thriller with Car Gonzalez, broadcasting from Austin, Texas, via SoundCloud and supported by listeners like you. It's time for the news. 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 Thriller with Car Gonzalez.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 101. I know, feels weird, doesn't it? We crossed the 100 mark. Okay, let's dive into news. So it looks like the world's second largest software company, Oracle, is offering blockchain products. Yeah, turns out the president of software development, Thomas Curran, announced today at Oracle headquarters that the company will unveil a platform as a service product this month and a decentralized ledger-based application next month. So the California-based company is working with Banco de Chile to log interbank transactions on a hyperledger. Oracle has also been working with the government of Nigeria, which is reportedly seeking to use blockchain technology for documenting customs and import duties. According to Bloomberg, Oracle's products will also be pitched to pharmaceutical companies for the management of medicine supply chains. This is all in a successful adoption in major industries recently. In late April, Spanish BBVA Bank became the first global bank to issue a loan on a blockchain. According to the bank, the use of blockchain technology cut the time needed to complete the $75 million loan process from days to hours. That's right. It's happening, and it's happening fast. So it's pretty interesting. See, Oracle. Oracle's a big player. Next up, we have Bitcoin futures creation and fall of cryptocurrency was no coincidence, according to a Federal Reserve report. So last December's introduction of Bitcoin futures, which gave investors an opportunity to bet against the value of the coin, played a large role in the late 2017, early 2018 price decline, according to the United States Federal Reserve. So in a letter today from the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco, published on May 7th, the authors conclude that the rapid run-up and subsequent fall in the price of Bitcoin after the introduction of futures is far from a coincidence. Rather, it is consistent with trading behavior that typically accompanies the introduction of futures markets for an asset, a situation compared to the securitization of bonds in the early 2000s. They go on to say the subsequent bust was driven by the creation of instruments that allow pessimistic investors to bet against the housing market. The Federal Reserve wrote similarly, the advent of blockchain introduced a new financial instrument, Bitcoin, which optimistic investors bid up until the launch of Bitcoin futures allowed pessimists to enter the market, which contributed to the reversal of Bitcoin price dynamics. And they go on to say that the firms were very cautious. They didn't want it going from 10,000 to 100,000. So there wasn't what I would call wild speculation. Fitzsimmons, managing director and head of Wedbush Futures, a financial services firm that publishes reports on cryptocurrency, said, "While we understand some of the factors that play a role in determining the long-run price of Bitcoin, our understanding of the transactional benefits of Bitcoin is too imprecise to quantify this long-run price. But as speculative dynamics disappear from the Bitcoin market, the transactional benefits are likely to be the factor that will drive valuation." I don't necessarily agree with what they say. I don't think that the price decline was caused by the futures. I think that's a little too much, even for the United States government or Federal Reserve to come out and say. It's a world currency. It's a world phenomenon. I'm going to keep saying that because it truly is. I think people in America like to think it's all about America, but it really isn't. Now, I will say that it probably helped, but I don't think it was a deciding factor. People need to realize that cryptocurrency drops in early months of every year. It just naturally happens like that. You can go back and look at the coin market cap and just has always done that since, you know, for as long as I've been in crypto. And this is just the way it is. I think they're trying to paint themselves to be bigger than what they really are. but that's just my two cents. Let's go on to the next piece of news. So Circle adds Monero to crypto investment app. So, you know, last week they added Zcash. Well, this week they're adding Monero. That's right. So you can get it right now on the Circle app. I like the Circle app. I think it's great to use. I really like it. They steal a lot of things from Coinbase. The only thing I don't like is that I can't exit out my coin. Like, I have to leave it in there. I don't like it. I want to be able to send it to a wallet. They said they are going to add that functionality later on, but until they do, it's still a no-go app for me. I'm still using the Square app, and I'm also still using the Abra app as well to purchase Bitcoin. And then whenever I want to like buy some really big big coins, I'll go to Gemini and buy there. But yeah, that's what I've been using, but I don't know. Let me know what you guys think. Next up, we have Crypto Candy. So Crypto Candy is a interesting new crypto coming from Elon Musk. And I don't think he's joking. And I don't think he's talking about crypto either. So let's see what happens. So on Saturday, May 5th, 2018, at the annual Berkshire Hathaway meeting was held at CenturyLink Center in Omaha. Mr. Warren Buffett, the CEO of Berkshire Hathaway, had some advice which was offered to Elon Musk, the CEO of Tesla. The advice was to stay away from Sea Candies. Sea Candies, as many of y'all don't know, is a company that is loyal and entrenched with a big customer base. It's basically a candy store, candy business, as you would say. Well, Elon Musk didn't like that that the way Warren Buffett was telling him how to run his business. So Elon Musk had something to say. And he said, before we get into that, Warren Buffett, who was just answering shareholders' questions about whether he agreed with Elon Musk's views about so-called economic moats or not, he said, moats was a term which was used by Warren Buffett, which was coined in 1999 Fortune magazine article while referring to Berkshire Hathaway's competitive advantage. Buffett was going on and on about the benefits of moats and how it was a key component of his stock picking process. Basically, a moat is what he's talking about, like a company where they entrench themselves in such a way to where anytime somebody tries to get inside the same market they're at, they build a barrier around their product or a barrier to entry. Kind of what Blockbuster did in the late 90s. DirecTV did before they merged. There's a lot of companies that do that. Usually big media companies try to do that, right? Banks are trying to do that. It seems like they're opening up a little bit, but they definitely are working their damnedest not to. So Elon Musk, he said he rejected the concept of moats. And he said, I think that moats are lame. They are like good in a type of quant vestigial manner. If the only defense you have against attacking an army is a moat, we will not last that long. Whatever matters is the speed of innovation is a basic determinant of competitiveness. And then Warren Buffett said, certainly you should work on improving your own moat and you should defend your own moat all the time. Elon can change things upside down in certain areas. You do not want to take them on in candy business. And then according to Warren Buffett, he said that he is fond of the Sea Candies business. I know this is dumb, guys, but it's going to get to a point here pretty soon. So basically, Elon Musk then tweeted, he goes, I'm starting a candy company and it's going to be amazing. And later he added, I am super serious because fucking Warren Buffett is on a tear recently. I don't know what's going on with the old guy, but he's poking the bear, Elon. And then Elon tweets, I'm going to name it Crypto Candy. And sure enough, the whole crypto universe just like explodes. And yeah, it's not going to be an actual crypto. I don't think he would do that. But he is trying to start a candy company to compete with Warren Buffett. It's kind of sad that these people are so rich and they're so petty that they actually have to go about starting fights with each other because they don't have nothing else better to do. It's pretty sad. Anyways, imagine what they could do with all that money and trying to help the world, you know, instead of fucking just playing games with each other. That's just my opinion, honestly. Next up. We'll be right back.
That's right. Verge is back. So it looks like the Pornhub partnership and Brazzr partnership was not the last of Verge. They actually just partnered with Traffic Junkie, and they are keen on adding Spotify to the list. But what's even more interesting is, according to a source, and this is all speculation, by the way. This is all speculation. I'm gonna read off what this person is saying. There is nothing in this industry like momentum, and we have it right now. It is powerful, and it is pumping adrenaline into the heart of this place right now. Yes, we are pursuing any and all partnerships, but the payments partnerships are at the top of our list. And not just T-Pay either. He's talking about TokenPay. Venmo is on the verge of doing some next level stuff, and we are hitting them hard to be included. I feel good about the possibilities there. I will say that. The publication is also reporting that it has conversed with former executive at PayPal, who now consults for them regarding cryptocurrencies. Interesting. Venmo will announce something by the end of 2018, and the idea is to attempt to one-up Square by bringing 5 to 10 cryptos onto the platform right at the onset. I can confirm that Verge is seriously in the mix. That's crazy. That is nuts. So if we're going to talk about this, we're just going to talk about this, right? And you guys know I've been wrong on Verge before. So do not listen to me on this. Do not go buy, tens of thousands of dollars on Verge, because it's probably not going to happen. But I will say, though, that, we've been saying this on the podcast, that PayPal has to fucking make a move, right? They have to. Like, Square is just killing them right now. We can buy Bitcoin on there. We can send Bitcoin. We can withdraw Bitcoin. We can do all. We can buy it. We can sell it. We can transfer it back. It's amazing. I love it. I love the Square app. It's amazing. They need that on Venmo. And if they can get, even if they could just get, Bitcoin, Litecoin, Ethereum, ETC, and who knows, maybe Verge, maybe Litecoin, maybe some other ones, maybe Dash, maybe Monero, who knows what it's going to be. But I think that if they were to add Verge, oh my God, that would literally change everything for that crypto. Just saying. But anyways, I just thought that was an interesting piece of news that I saw hit the desk. So got to make sure that I report it to you guys, because you never know. And with that, let's get into our interesting video of the day.
Cars. Interesting video of the day.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, today's interesting video of the day is by Peter Schiff. As you know, he is one of those people that is against Bitcoin. He doesn't like it. But I love to listen to this stuff. And I would encourage a lot of y'all to listen to more negative stuff, because it to me, it just reinforces it. but also what you want to do is you want to listen to why they hate it so much, right? Like, you don't want to just be too one-sided. You want to be able to listen to both sides. At least that's what I always think, right? So let's take a listen to what Peter Schiff and the rest of his, I guess, roundtable has to talk about. Check this out.
Bitcoin at this time plays a very small role in the payment system. It is not a stable source of store of value, and it doesn't constitute legal tender. It is a highly speculative asset.
So let me ask you this first. Is she right? Is it speculation?
It is speculation, mm-hmm. But she's not right. She's mm-hmm. talking about something with the Federal Reserve and the regulators missed. It was the same thing. CDOs were not that big of a deal. Mortgage-backed securities were not that big of a deal. Where were the regulators? Why couldn't they catch that? Mm-hmm. Right, so I think that's a bad example. I like Janet Yellen, but I think she kind of talked too much there about Bitcoin in that way. But it's speculative. It's absolutely speculative.
I can't find fault with anything that Janet Yellen said there. I mean, it is not a stable store of value. And she said stable, not just store of value. It's very volatile. but it can be a store of value. Now the question is whether it's stable. And as to whether it's a large-scale mechanism for payments or whether it has a meaningful impact on the U.S. payment system, no, it's still small. $250 billion in total market capitalization, i.e. the amount of money that's been pumped into the system as a whole, is a drop in the bucket in the global economic sense. And that's because this is raw new technology, and it's very promising, but it's still in its infancy.
Okay, go ahead, Peter.
If you even try to use it for payments, because I remember initially when people talked about it, they said it was great for micropayments. You know, it's, if you want to buy a cup of coffee, you can pay for it in Bitcoin. Well, it's impossible. You know, it costs, I don't know, $30, $40, $50 just to do a transaction. So you can't buy something for a dollar or $2 or $5 or even $100 because, you know, the cost of doing it is such a high percentage. It's much cheaper just to use a MasterCard or a Visa. It's 2 or 3%. So you can't use it as a medium of exchange. And people that are living in a lot of the poorer countries where a lot of people think, oh, it's ideal for people in these poor countries that have really irresponsible central banks, although they're all reckless and irresponsible, but some are more so than others. But the annual incomes are so low that there's no way these people can afford to use Bitcoin. I mean, people are just using it now as for pure speculation. I was watching on CNBC today, you know, they had some kid that dropped out of high school that's now a multimillionaire because he happened to buy some Bitcoins, and they're treating him like he's some kind of financial genius.
Damn, that guy's a financial genius. No, but seriously, I mean, if we look at all the old people that have, you know, created their wealth, you know, the JP Morgans, Warren Buffetts of the world, freaking even Bill Gates, man, Billy Gates, all these people were taking chances. Like Billy Gates, for example, Bill Gates, if you guys don't know, he never had an operating system when he sold it to IBM. He went off and bought it from some other dude for like $50,000. And then turned around and sold it to IBM, and that became DOS. Like, seriously, these are all, this is not folklore. This is real, actual stuff that happened, right? And same thing with Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett, he ended up buying, I forget what it was, but he ended up buying like a textile manufacturer. He ended up having to close it down called Berkshire Hathaway. That thing ended up getting to such a significant amount that he became a billionaire right from it. So this is what I'm saying. Like all of these people who say like, oh, that kid, he's not a financial genius. Well, technically, he kind of might be. I'm not saying he's an oracle of Omaha or anything, but if he got in early enough, if he saw the potential of it, then he saw a lot of things that we didn't. And I call that bullish. Anyways, you know, there's a lot of stuff in there to chew on, but I kind of wanted to get everybody to understand that, you know, there's a lot of different opinions in the space, and we all have our own, and I'm sure a lot of you have your own that are completely different than mine, and that's great. I think everybody should have their own opinion when it comes to Bitcoin or when it comes to cryptocurrency, right? But I think listening to the other side, listening to other people's opinions is always a good thing, whether you agree with it or not. Just being open to the ideas of what they're talking about. You don't have to agree with them. Just meet them halfway. That's what I say. It would have been interesting to be on that roundtable, right? Anyways, let's get into TCR. That's right. Telegram Coin Request.
We have a Telegram Coin Request. Coin Request. Coin Request. We have a Telegram Coin Request. Coin Request. Coin Request. We have a Telegram.
Oh, right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls from around the world, let's gather around for TCR. So I actually had two TCRs that were in the Telegram, but Steve, my favorite Steve out there in the crypto world, he did a TCR on an iTunes review. So I'm sorry, I'm going to go ahead and take Steve's TCR first, and then tomorrow we'll do everybody else's from the Telegram because, hey, he got my attention. He literally got my attention. When I looked at the reviews today, I was like, oh, crap. I was like, he left a TCR inside of the iTunes review. That's genius. So he says, this is what he says. Great cryptocurrency podcast, 5 stars. I always listen as soon as an episode comes out. He is always informative, fun, and honest with how he feels about the way things are going and where they might be soon. I highly recommend this podcast to anyone interested in cryptocurrency. Now, how about a TCR for Elastos? Oh, that's awesome, Steve. I love that you put a TCR inside our iTunes review. I'm sure that's going to help our rankings. Probably not. The iTunes committee is going to be like, what is this? What is this? Man, one of these days, you guys need to remind me, whenever we do a hangout, a Google hangout, which we should be doing one here pretty soon. I'm going to try to schedule one here pretty soon. But when we do a Google hangout for our Patreons and for everybody else, remind me to tell you guys the story of when I went to an interview for Apple. Just remind me that, because I have a really good story, I'll leave it at that. But remind me, because when I see something like that, when Steve left that review in iTunes, it immediately reminded me of an interview that I had when I went to the Apple campus and actually interviewed with them. It was hilarious. Anyways, but remind me, because I can't blast it on the podcast. They'll come after me, right? I just can't do that. But I can do it in a Google Hangout. Anyways, let's take a look at Elastos. So it looks like if we go to CoinMarketCap, I think it might be in the top 100. I want to say that we actually have passed by it a couple of times. Let me see. Elastos. Yeah, it sure is. Okay, cool. All right, so we got Elastos, ELA. I'll put a little thing in the show notes, but looks like it came out here in February of this year at around $37. Dang. And then it completely peaked down. Oh, wow, it didn't even go that down in February. That's interesting. Then it actually went up in February. Wow, it went up to $91. And then it crashed down in March to around $27, okay. And then here in April, it got another pump. And now it's around $58 here in May. So dang, it's been as high as $91. That's crazy. Where did you find this one, Steve? So it looks like it's on Hubei Exchange, BCX Exchange, Social Graph. Looks like, let's just take a look at their Reddit. I want to see how many people they have. Oh, 174. It's not bad. It's not bad at all. Let's see what they have there. Stay up to date on Elastos discussions, news and interviews from industry leaders and community. You got to put what your coin is about, man. Come on, bro. You got to put what your coin is about inside the subreddit. That's not good. Looks like they're tweeting pretty often. That's good. Looks like there's only a total supply of 33 million. A circulating supply of 5 million right now. And a market cap of 300 million. That's not bad. That's not bad at all. So if we take a look, let's look over here at their website. It looks pretty cool. They have a white paper. That's good. So it says Elastos is a public chain designed based on main chain and side chain architecture. Main chain sharing the calculating power through merge mining with Bitcoin, which guarantees a trust behind Bitcoin proof-of-work mechanism while avoiding incremental energy consumption. Sidechain works in cluster mode to improve calculation capability while keeping the main chain overloaded. The sidechain supports the running of smart contracts flexibly, such as trusted calculation expand to third-party applications. Okay. Elastos Carrier is a completely decentralized peer-to-peer platform. This carrier takes over all of network traffic between virtual machines. Elastos Runtime is a lightweight operating system that prevents applications and services from directly accessing the internet. And they're making it SDK as well. Looks like they have some partners. What's the team look like? I'm interested to see what this team is. Introduction. They don't have anything when you click on team. That's not good. Elastos is dedicated to creating a brand new virtual... The design philosophy of Elastos originated from Chen Rong, a former senior software engineer at Microsoft. Why isn't he putting any of his team there? That's weird. That is very weird. Because like you literally click on team on their website and it doesn't actually show anything. And then when you search for him, nothing. Yeah, okay. So let's take a look at their white paper. Let's look here. It looks like securities, agricultural age has been replaced by big data and information age. Today, digital resources can be duplicated without cost, even as digital assets are widely produced. Based on existing cryptocurrency and blockchain technology, so far there is no dApp that can compete with mainstream apps. The reason for this is that the computing power and input-output operations per second of dApps are relatively weak. Current blockchain infrastructure can be easily overwhelmed. Elastis will introduce a new computing paradigm and enable decentralized applications to perform with a better input-output operations per second. The Elastis blockchain is designed to use main chain and side chains to avoid bloating the main chain with necessary data. Let's see here. I'm trying to see if he actually has a plan. Based on the time when the Elastos Genesis block is created, Elastos confirms to a Bitcoin holder and might send them LA free of charge. The detailed rules are following. Target feedback. To compensate for natural loss tokens, such as users losing their wallets as well, to keep up the slight inflation, the amount of ELA in circulation will increase annually at a fixed rate of 4%. Smart contracts. CC++ framework of Elastos OS makes use of Android's application interfaces, JavaScript. You know, this is a pretty interesting coin, Steve. We are still in the early stages of digital currency and the blockchain industry is rapidly developing and there's a lack of talent. The Elastos founders initiated the program. We are all Satoshi Nakamoto at the Tingxia Eye Center through the Distributed Autonomous Coalition, which aims to cultivate high-level blockchain technology talent. I believe this is from China, this coin. Well, actually, it's registered in Singapore and is owned by the Elastos Foundation. Okay, yeah, so they are out of Beijing, China. Interesting. Smart web powered by blockchain. Yeah, this is an interesting coin. It's a lot. It's actually a lot to dive in a short amount of time. But if I have to give it a go or no go on the spot, just by looking at what I've looked at, because that's what we do in TCR, right? We look at everything really quickly and we make a decision on the spot. $58 is a lot of money, Steve. $58 is a lot of money. I like the total supply. I'm not going to lie that. I like the circulating supply. I like that. Couple things I don't understand right off the bat is, if they are, you know, discussing all these like next generation peer-to-peer internet, you know, blockchains, and it looks like they're actually going out of their way to talk about Elastos Carrier in the side chains. I would love to spend more time on it, but if I had to give you a buy or a go, it depends how much money you have. If you have enough money to buy it, I don't see why would it make you enough money. I mean, because we saw it go to $91, right? So we know it can get to $91 by the end of the year, just given the history of how small this coin was. And I think increasing over time, it's going to keep generating more. I wish they were a little bit more forefront on their team. Honestly, I think that's kind of weird how they don't talk about their team. Or they don't even have any pictures of their team, but I guess they're doing it in a different way. They do AMAs and they do have YouTube videos where they talk about what they're working on, which is good. I'm going to give this one a sideways thumb up, meaning if you bought it, it wouldn't be a bad idea. If you didn't buy it, it wouldn't be a bad idea either. I'm sorry. I can't give it an up or down either way. I'll give it a sideways thumb up. Or no, not thumb up. A sideways thumb, if that's anything. I'm 50-50 on it. I'm 50-50 on it just because there's some more info I would like to dive in. But if we're just looking at the time that you're giving me right now, I would say 50-50. I think if we can get to the end of the year, it could be around $90, maybe even more. I think if it actually turns out to be something actually real and they actually develop this, what they're talking about, holy crap, then you're looking at a very expensive coin there in the thousands potentially. So it's kind of one of those things. It just depends on how much money you want to spend. But yeah, that's my 2 cents. With that, let's go ahead and get into coin talk. That's right. It's that time of the day. Let's jump into it. Coin talk starting now.
It is time. Everything you have been waiting for. Coin talk. Coin talk. Coin talk.
All right, let's get into Thriller Coin Talk. But first, that's right, let's talk about something. First couple things I want to mention right off the bat is, that's right, Blockchain Expo Amsterdam. So today I'm actually sending off my birth certificate so that way I can get a passport. It's weird. I didn't realize you actually had to send that out, like, to you don't get it back. Or they do send it back to you, but like a month later, 2 months later, which is pretty interesting. I didn't realize that they, and you would think they would have this all on, like, you know, the blockchain, but they don't, not yet at least. But anyway, so Blockchain Expo in Amsterdam, that's coming up in June. If you guys are interested, I would highly suggest checking it out. It's going to be awesome. Next thing up, Blockchain and Decentralized Tech Super Summit. That's happening in Dallas later this year. Yep, yep, that's true. It's happening in Dallas. I think it's November 28th around there. We're going to be there. Hopefully they give me the green light and I can speak. I'm still holding out hope that they will. Hey, the way I look at it, hey, you would have a good solid 45 minutes of entertaining fun. Just saying. I'm pretty good. I'm a pretty good national speaker, I've been told. Just kidding. And I think that's it. Oh, there's a 10% off coupon for that Decentralized Tech Super Summit. The links are in the show notes if you guys are interested. Next thing I'm going to bring up is the iTunes reviews. So currently right now we're at 9. Not bad. Not great, but not bad. I appreciate all of you though who have left an iTunes review. They have been awesome. So I'm gonna say this. Well, actually, should I say that before I say something else? You know what? No, you know what? Let's just keep talking iTunes reviews. So if we can get to 50, then we're gonna get a new show on this through a podcast media platform. We're going to get a new show. I promise you, you're going to love it. But we need to get to 50. The reason we need to get to 50 is because, yeah, that's right, guests. We can get some really good guests on the show. And I feel like if we move up the ranks in iTunes, getting to 50 will help out a lot. There's some other crypto podcasts out there. They're at like 160, 150 reviews, iTunes reviews. But I think if we can get to 50, which I know we can, there's literally like hundreds of people that listen to this episode every day. So I just need like maybe, I don't know, like 5 of y'all to leave a review and we can get to 50 in the next 3 weeks. You know, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's that easy. So if you haven't, please go to iTunes and leave a review. I'd really appreciate it, just so that way we can get through our podcast out there. Next up, oh, also, that if you leave a TCR on there, that's hilarious. So the fact that Steve left a TCR on there, that's awesome. So if you guys want to get a TCR, still use Telegram. But if you want to get there first before other people in Telegram, throw it inside of the iTunes review like Steve did today. That was awesome. Okay, next up, I want to say, and if all my patrons already know because I've already spoiled it for them early. But, and then if you follow me on Telegram, I kind of gave a sneak peek on Saturday. But whenever I create something, I usually binge create. And what that means is like I create things like really, really fast. Sometimes they come out good and sometimes they don't come out so good. Like this podcast was a binge creation. Like I started it and I just was like, yeah, I'm going to dive into podcasting. And sure enough, I just started binge creating it. I was like doing like 7 episodes a week. It was crazy. The first 3 or 4 or 5 months, somewhere around there. We were doing like 6 episodes a week. It was nuts because I enjoyed it so much. But what I'm trying to say is I created something else and I binge created it over the weekend. It's called Thriller Crypto. I know, sounds cool, right? I got the idea from Steve actually, because Steve had messaged me maybe about, I don't know, when was it, Steve? Maybe about 3 months ago, 3 or 4 months ago, he had said, hey, Carr, he's like, it'd be really cool if you added crypto into the name of the show. And I remember thinking like, you know, I should have done that. But the way I looked at it was like, we already had created through our podcast and everybody had nuances through our podcast. So I didn't do it. And plus I always considered the thriller part to be like the roller coaster and the thrill ride. So everybody should know, you know, that should be crypto, but I guess it's not as self-explanatory as I thought. Anyways, he gave me the idea for calling it Thriller Crypto. And I was like, you know, that's actually a really cool name. At the time, I didn't do anything with it. I just remember thinking like, that's a cool name. Well, it wasn't until I saw like this clip from Michael Bloomberg, actually. And he was talking about how he created Bloomberg Media and how he talked about how in the beginning stages he wanted to actually he sold these terminals that could track like the cryptocurrency market, or not the cryptocurrency, the stock market, and he would spit out all this data, and this data he would sell it to like all the Wall Street investors, and they would use these terminals. Eventually he got out of the computer business and just started selling the application software. And even to this day, they still use it now. It's called like a Bloomberg terminal. It's a special piece of software that runs on a specialized PC. I believe I've actually seen one, which is pretty interesting. They're pretty neat, but it looks kind of like DOS in a way. But anyway, I don't know too much about that. Anyway, what I'm trying to get at is, I remember when I saw that and he was talking about that, and then how he said his next step was to create a media company around it, and how it was just a natural next step for him. And he was talking about all these things, and it was really fascinating because I never really paid attention who Michael Bloomberg was. I always thought he was just some like old dude or whatever. I never really, you know, gave him any like my time to listen to him talk. And when he was talking, I was just like, man, this makes sense. I was like, there's really nothing like that here in crypto right now. If you look at the space right now, we have CoinDesk, and all they do is just present FUD every day, right? We have Cointelegraph. They're a little bit better, but you know, they're just a news organization, right? We have a couple other places too as well that are really good news organizations. Then we have like the really cool, coin talk that you would say, you know, like ICO News is one of them. And then like Hacker Noon is another one where they just do really good articles, right? So the more I started thinking about it, I was like, man, when I'm like creating the show, I have to like dig through all these different websites to find interesting news for the show. And some of the times it's not good, and it creates more time. And so the way I was looking at it was, I'm going to create this website. I'm going to use the name Thriller Crypto, because Steve actually gave me a great idea. Because that's one thing about you guys that you don't realize is like every time you guys give me an idea for something, I end up using it. Maybe I won't use it right away, but I always keep it in the back of my head, and then eventually I'll roll with it, right? Today we were talking to, I believe it was Jonah on Telegram today, and he was giving out some great ideas about marketing and stuff like that, and sales and stuff like that. And I was like, man, these are great ideas. I probably won't jump on it anytime soon, but I always keep that in the back of my head. And when Steve had told me that a long time ago, maybe 3-4 months ago, I was like, man, that's a great idea. Like Thriller Crypto, that sounds so cool. But I always knew I was going to be using it. I just didn't know how I was going to use it. Well, once I saw that Bloomberg thing, and then I thought of the name, and then I thought of like this website, and I was thinking, man, this would be a great website for like a news aggregator, which would basically pull all these different, it would scrub the web of all these different news sites for crypto, for the blockchain space, right? And it would pull it, and it would basically just funnel it to the top in this webpage. And the way it, if you go there right now, it's a HTTPS, you know, :// www.thrillercrypto.com. And if you go there now, you'll see a clean interface. It really is clean. I made it a point not to put any images in the front page, because a lot of the times images and stuff like that get in the way on websites. At least for me, they do. And I don't mind actually just reading a full page. Like one of the best features I like about iOS is that you can go in Safari and you can like select the reader option, right? And it turns into a reader of some sorts. And even like Medium, if you download the Medium app, that's another one where you can actually like read full posts, and they actually just scroll seamlessly. Well, this one does the same thing. If you go to thrillercrypto.com, you click on like the first link up there, it'll show you the news that it's being gathered from. And then at the bottom, it gives you your reaction and then to the news. And then you can leave a comment if you want. And then if you don't want to, you can go back and swipe back. And then you're back to the next piece of news. And the next one is like this other piece of news right here. You click on it, literally it has all the pictures ingrained inside of the app or inside of the software, inside of Safari itself or your browser. And it's great. It works really good on mobile. Like it works really good on mobile, and it's sticky. That's what I like about this website. It's very sticky. I like the fact that it does these things right really well, that you can read everything and then you can go back. It's very simple. actually looking it up on the desktop, it doesn't look as good because it's just I don't think it's made for desktop viewing, but you can look at it on a desktop. It just looks very plain. But if you're reading it on a tablet or on your phone, it flows through the news conveniently, very convenient. And it's one of those things that over the weekend after I had built it, I was like using it with my iPad and I was just like looking at all the news and I was just tweeting out stuff. And I was like, man, this is what I've always wanted in a crypto news site, right? Is something as simple as this, something as intuitive as this, something that gets all the ads out of the way and just focuses on the content. And that's what I love about it. So that's why I created Thriller Crypto. If you guys want to check it out, go to thrillercrypto.com. Actually, what's on there too, as well, is the podcasts are on there. So the podcasts are automatically going to get feeded on there. And then it has all the latest podcasts like on the sidebar. And then it has like, you know, the latest Bitcoin news, latest Ethereum news, latest Stellar news, all this stuff. It's on the sidebar as well too. And then it has different like links at the top. It's what's even great is I was able to scour some web pages that talked about ICOs. So whenever there's a new upcoming ICO, it'll pull that news and automatically get sent there. Whenever there's a hard fork, which is awesome, it'll automatically pull the news from the different hard fork websites and automatically show it on there. What's great about it is there's about 75 new posts every day. I know that sounds like a lot, but literally in crypto, there's like 75 new posts every day. We only cover 5 or 6 here on the podcast. There's so much news that's not being mentioned. And if you go to the thrillercrypto.com, you can see all the news. It literally takes up one page because there's so much news from one day. It's insane. So if you guys want to check it out, feel free to. It was a lot of fun to create. And it was one of those things where I just binge created it over the weekend. And I was like, man, I hope everybody likes it because it's something that I think is needed in this space. I was looking all over the web for something like this. There's not one. There is one called Sludge Feed, but the interface looks all wonky and it just doesn't swipe good, you know, on your phone. This is clean. I wish I had some more like design coding skills, and then I could like make certain things do cool shit inside of the webpage, but I don't have that. It would be cool to add like a thumbs up on the side or something. But yeah, I don't have that ability. But there is like, I think it's good the way it is, but if anybody wants to check it out, go to thrillercrypto.com. That's my gift to y'all because I've always wanted something like that. And I know a lot of us love looking at everything newsworthy here, and there's not one central place for that. And I feel like that could be that eventually when I want to build out. And so I want to build out something I'm still thinking about it. It's still rumbling in my head, but there should be something that can kind of take all the metrics for all these different cryptocurrencies and correlate the data from like years past, and then correlate the data from like, you know, like the current trend lines and all that stuff, and then give you an outlook on what you can see in the week ahead. It would be interesting to build out something like that. I don't know how that would work, but I do know the key metrics that you would need to build out something like that. It's just a matter of building it, I guess. Anyways, I've just been thinking a lot about that kind of stuff. Anyways, with that, let's get into our disclaimer, because we have to play our disclaimer. If not, we can get sued and that will shut down everything.
Remember, Thriller Podcast does not give financial advice. He cannot tell the future, even if he thinks he can. He is just some dude trying to save the world one Satoshi at a time.
All right, let's get into Thriller Coin Talk. This is what everybody likes to talk about. They like to hear about the coins that are happening. So if we look here, it looks like we got Bitcoin at $9,447. I bought some more Bitcoin today. As soon as I saw it get to 9,300, I just bought some on my Square app. I was like, not even thinking twice. A lot of people thought the run-up was going to happen. We were going to see 10K. I thought so too. I think we touched 9,900 at some point this past weekend. It's inevitable. I think the amount of FUD that all these dinosaurs out there are trying to throw on crypto, I honestly believe that they're just trying to get in right now. I think the, and I'll talk about more of this in the main topic, but I think a lot of these people, I think a lot of these people that are trying to do all this FUD, as we call it here, flinging this there. I think what they're trying to do is just drive the price of Bitcoin down because they want to buy in. Personally, every person that has tried to do this, like Jamie Dimon's one of them, he tried so hard, you know, to drive that price down, and he was able to get in at 6K, probably somewhere around there. Anyways, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because it's going to go up regardless what people say. The mass adoption that is taking place for Bitcoin right now is crazy. A lot of people like to talk about the partnerships, but some of the biggest partnerships happen with Bitcoin. I think a lot of people forget that the biggest partnerships right now in the crypto space are with Bitcoin before they're with anybody else. I think people don't pay attention to that, and I think that could... That could be bad, but I'm always aware of the fact that you'll have partnerships with like Ripple or with Ethereum or with Litecoin or with Stellar or with IOTA or Tron or even Verge, like whatever. But the biggest partnerships happen with Bitcoin. They always have, and that's going to keep increasing the price up. So, 9,400 is a good time to buy, in my opinion. I think next year, I don't think we're going to see 10,000, honestly. I think it could drop to like 15 or 16 or 18,000 next year, maybe 20. Who knows what the amount's going to be, but I think we're never going to see Bitcoin at this price next year. We're not going to see Bitcoin at $9,000 next year. It's just not going to happen. So I think if you go in thinking that, if you know that that's going to be like this $9,000 might, who knows? It might show up again in June or July, who knows? But I think in the long term, this time next year, Bitcoin will not be at 9,000. Even on its lows, it'll be at like 15 tops. I think that's the lowest it'll go next year. With that, we got Ethereum at $772. Okay. I think it actually got to $800. Yeah, I think it did. We then got Ripple at 84 cents. Ripple is just staying tight at 80 cents, it seems like. I'm so ready to dump my Ripple at this point. I'm not going to do it now, but you know, I'm just waiting for it to break out here any second. But you know, honestly, all this FUD that's happening to Ripple lately is just not helping them at all. It seems like the Federal Banking Reserve likes them some Bitcoin. We got Bitcoin Cash at 1685. So that has been steadily increasing as well. We got EOS back up, EOS, $18.31, up 7% today. Litecoin at 167. This is another one that I've been saying, guys. I've been saying it since last year. I think Litecoin is going to hit 1K this year. It's going to get to $1,000. I said that last year. Go back and listen to the shows. It's going to get to $1,000. It's going to touch that. I don't think it's going to stay there, but it will touch it. And it'll probably land around 500, 600, somewhere around there. By the end of the year, we got Cardano at 34 cents, up 5%. We got Stellar at 40 cents. And you guys know how I feel about Stellar. Bullish on it. IOTA at $2.30. You know, they had this whole partnership with IOTA over the weekend, or it was touted with Porsche. I don't know. I tried doing some research on trying to find out exactly where it was released from Porsche or from Autobahn, the company behind Porsche. I couldn't find a press release. I'm just saying. So I don't know about that one. Got Tron. I'm sure it's probably out there. I just couldn't find it. I'm just saying that. Tron is at 8 cents at number 10, up 4%. And man, Tron is doing a 360 on a lot of people. There's a lot of people on YouTube that were bashing Tron. All of a sudden, they're on the Tron bandwagon. You know, we used to bash Tron at a certain point. I'm not going to lie. We did. But I think I got to a certain point where I was just tired of Justin Sun not doing anything but just marketing. And that was when I was just like, you know what, Justin Sun, go back and listen to that episode, the Tron episode. I literally say, you know what, Justin Sun, do something. And he listened and he did something. No, he didn't listen to me. But no, he finally stopped marketing so much and finally, you know, started, you know, cranking out the jams, man. He literally did it. Which is good for him. We'll see what happens with Tron. I don't know. I'm I feel like I'm like 70% on it. I was 50-50 before. Now I'm like 70%. I think it's turning into something real. We'll see how real this is going to be. I don't know how big Tron is going to be, honestly. I can't give you a number on that. People have asked. I don't know. It's too early for Tron. It's way too early. It's just, I don't know. I wish I knew. I'm not going to lie. I wish I knew how high I could see Tron, but I honestly don't. I'm holding a lot of Tron as well, but I just don't know how high I see it. It's one coin that I'm looking at. I'm trying to gauge and I'm looking at everything and I just can't figure out where it's trying to land at or where its niche is going to be. But if it does get a partnership with Alibaba that people have been talking about, shit, man, that's going to be big. But I don't know if that's going to happen or not. But that will increase the price. I do know that much. We got Neo at $80. Got Dash at $465. Monero at $2. $233. I'm sorry, Monero. Got NEM at 39 cents. VeChain at $5.17. Ethereum Classic, $24. No, $23.59. But, man, Ethereum Classic is on a tear. Interesting to see over the weekend that they're going to try to implement some things from Ethereum back to Ethereum Classic. That should get it going back up here pretty soon. We got Omise Go at $16.81. Got Icon at $4.38. We got Lisk at $12.86. Bitcoin at 0.6 cents. Verge at 7 cents, up 6% today. We got Ontology at $9.47. We got Steam at $3.58. Wow, Steam has came down. Got Populous at $21.60. WAN Chain at $8.28. Damn, Bitum up to 84 cents, up 13%. Nice. We got Archain at $1.88. Decreed at $87. We have Dogecoin at 0.4 cents. Not looking good, but that gives you kind of a indicator of where the cryptocurrency market's at. It's like it's climbing back up, right? We got DigiDAO at $255. Got Walton Chain at $15. Digibyte, man, that has seen a pump. Now, I believe they're releasing a lot of stuff here on their blockchain, so that should be interesting. We'll see what that turns into. I'm not holding any Digibyte, honestly. I'm just not holding any Digibyte. I did in the past. I'm just not anymore. I don't think it's a bad coin to hold. Honestly, I just my money is elsewhere these days. It's on Stellar mostly. It's on Stellar, honestly. That's where a lot of it's on. We got Ion at $3.45. We have Nebulous at $10.41. Got Pivix at $5.77. We got Funfair at 5 cents. So look at Redcoin. So Redcoin is back down to 0.9 cents. I told y'all not to buy it. It's just a pump and dump coin. And it was funny. I was lurking on the Redcoin subreddit just to see how everybody's doing. And there's so many new people on there. I didn't go on there to like comment or anything like that. I just went on there just to lurk, you know, and there's just so many new people on there and they're just sucking up all the FUD, not all the FUD, but all the, just like all the craziness that happens inside that Redcoin community. There's just, it's sad because they're taking advantage of all these new crypto holders, but it's just, It's horrific to watch, you know, honestly. I kind of want to say something, but I'm like, you know what? I've already tried. It's up to somebody else to do it just because, like, man, if they can keep pumping that coin up and down from 1 to 2 cents, you know, it's easy money, man. Easy money. Just manipulating the market. Funfair at 6 cents. Nice. Yeah, good old Funfair finally made a move. That's cool. It's up 13%. We got Dragon Chain at $1.09, up 14%. Nice Dragon Chain. We got Salt at $3.81. Cyber Miles, 33 cents. Wonder what that is. Let's take a look at that. Chainlink at 60 cents, 14%. Matrix AI Network, $1.36. Factum back up to $23. And Bank to the Future is our 100th coin at 31 cents. Let's check out these two. So Cyber Miles, CMT. Looks like it came out in December at 36 cents. and it's still at 33 cents. Got as high as 56 cents, and it went on a major low at 7 cents. Man, this coin is swinging, man. Okay, looks like it's on Binance. That's cool. It's on Copenhood. Got CyberMiles Reddit. Interesting. Selected the most promising project in decentralized financial services by audience. Yeah, there we go. Looking logo. Give him that. Yeah, interesting. Yeah, it looks like it has a total supply of 1 trillion, circulating supply of 633 million. Okay, we got Bank to the Future. Let's check out this BFT. This is funny. So it came out at 7 cents in March, climbing up the ladders. Now it's at 30 cents. Man, that was fast. We have a total supply of, 1,629 circulating supply. Let's take a look at their markets. Oh, it hasn't even hit the major exchanges yet. So it's still at Gate.io, Huboy, and ETHFinex. Interesting. Bank to the Future volume update. Slowly but surely climbing the ladder at 97. Dang, that's cool. Looks like it just got on Bitfinex, so that's where the pump is coming from. Interesting. Yeah, Bank to the Future. That's such a good name. BFT. Anyways, that's it for Coin Talk. Today in our main topic, we're talking dinosaurs. That's right, these old dinosaurs. I'm talking like these old dinosaurs that have nothing to do with financial market anymore because their entire world as they know it is crashing down. And we're getting attacked by these old dinosaurs. That's right. Let's jump into our main topic, the dinosaur attack. So this main topic is going to be all of the FUD that is coming in. And you guys know I hate doing an episode just on FUD alone. I don't like doing a negative episode. I really don't. But I feel like we have some reconnaissance that we have to send in just because there's so much of this lately. And the market's going so well and it's May. And so we just got to take it down one by one. So check this out. This is Warren Buffett talking major chiat on Bitcoin today.
At one point this weekend, you said that Bitcoin, and this was based, you were asked, Charlie said Bitcoin's like rat poison. You were asked about that comment, and you said, well, it's probably more like rat poison squared. Charlie went on in the meeting to then basically call Bitcoin turds.
He is an expressive sort, isn't he? Maybe when he gets a little older, he'll mature.
I just want to ask you about that because it sparks so much controversy, and particularly on Twitter and some of the places where you might expect people who are trading in cryptocurrency to be pretty loud about what they heard. What is it about Bitcoin that gets you guys so fired up?
Well, when you buy a farm, you look at the crop every year and what prices are, and you decide whether it was a satisfactory investment. I mean, you look to the asset itself and what it produces for you. When we buy a business, we look at what the business earns and decide how we feel about it in terms of what we paid. But we are buying something that at the end of the period, we not only have what we bought in the first place, but we have something that the asset produced. And when you buy non-productive assets, all you're counting on is whether the next person is going to pay you more because they're even more excited about another next person coming along. But the asset itself is creating nothing. One of the interesting things, for example, is gold. If you go back to the time of Christ and you look at how many hours of labor you had to give up in order to buy an ounce of gold, and you take it forward to now, you'll find the compound rate maybe a tenth or two-tenths of 1%. You know, and then you have to insure it during that time and make sure somebody doesn't steal it from you and everything. But it doesn't produce anything. And productive assets, you can pay too much for a productive asset. But I bought a farm in the 1980s, and every year, look at how much it produced, the way of soybeans and corn. And at the end of that period, I've still got the farm, and I've gotten some significant income off of it, apartment house, operating business. But if you and I buy various cryptocurrencies, they're not going to multiply. They're not going to be a bunch of rabbits sitting there in front of us. They're just going to sit there. And I got to hope next time you get more excited after I bought it from you, and then maybe I'll get more excited and buy it from you. And actually, we could sit in the house by ourselves, and we could keep running up the price between the two of us. But at the end of the time, there's one Bitcoin sitting there, and now we got to find somebody else. And they come to an end. I mean,
that's a greater fool theory. That's what you're saying.
It's buying something because you expect the pool of people who want to buy it because they want to sell it to somebody else will grow. It's wonderful because it does create a rising price, does create more buyers, and people think, I've got to get in on this. And it's better if they don't understand it. That's the other thing about non-productive. If you don't understand it, you get much more excited than if you understand it. I mean, if you buy a bond that says it's going to pay you 4% a year, you're not going to get any pleasant surprises. She's going to pay you 4% a year. But if you can have anything you want to imagine. If you just look at something and say, that's magic, you can do it with shark's teeth or seashells or anything. And, they did it with tulips in the 17th century in Amsterdam. And they'll do it again. I mean, people, they like to speculate. They like to gamble.
So the first thing that I think when he says something like that, I automatically think is like, what's going on right now? What is he trying to do? Why is he coming out? Why is he coming out of his little million-dollar mansion or wherever he lives in? And why is he talking about, Bitcoin? So most of the time, when you show up on a big site like CNBC and you do these interviews and stuff like that, there's an agenda behind it, right? He's there to promote something. He's not promoting anything, There's nothing that he's promoting there. He is literally just fudding on Bitcoin. He talked about a lot of different topics, but for the majority, there's really nothing there. And when I see that, it sounds like somebody either set him up to do that, or he's doing it himself. He's taking it upon himself to let people know that look to him. Because believe it or not, and like it or not, a lot of people look up to Warren Buffett, like a lot of people. I would say everybody that's probably in their 40s and over. There's a podcast that I listen to. I forget the name of it right now, but they like swear up and down by Warren Buffett. They love this guy and they talk about him all the time and they listen to his tips and they read his books and everything like that. And that's great. That's great for the stock market. That's great. But he's talking to those people. He's talking to the people that are seeing the prices run up in cryptocurrency. He's talking to the people that have followed him for the past, however many decades he's been around, I think since the 60s. And he's telling them that not to invest in cryptocurrency. That's what he's basically doing. He's talking to his constituents. He doesn't have any constituents, but you know what I mean? He's talking to his fans or to his followers, to his believers. And he's telling them not to invest in cryptocurrency. That's kind of sad because he's going to let them not get in on this nice return that we're getting every year in crypto. Now, another thing that I also noticed that he's doing there too as well is he's trying to project Bitcoin to be this this thing, and he's trying to relate it into real world terms. And I think what he's missing there, and any millennial could explain this to him. This is what's kind of hard to believe, that he's not listening to any young people out there. But if you look at it like that, there's not going to be a one for one with that in the real world. Bitcoin is just digital money. That's all it is. It's just digital money that you can find on a ledger, that you can find every transaction ever processed on a ledger, on a running ledger, right? Now, the blockchain part is the interesting part, right? Because you can build things on top of it. There's apps, there's contracts, there's all these cool things that could happen on the blockchain, right? So what I think he's just not understanding is he's not seeing where this is headed. I think he's seeing these cryptos and he's seeing the speculation. And yeah, it's going to go up, it's going to go down, it's going to go wherever way it goes. But if you look at what these companies that are behind these digital tokens, these digital currencies, what they're building is bigger than the cryptocurrency itself. And that's why I try to explain on this show all the time, is that if you take something like Bitcoin, yes, it's the OG. Yes, it has a digital gold status, right? But if you actually look at what they're building out, and even BCH, like if you look at Bitcoin Cash, right? You look at something like Bitcoin Cash. Bitcoin Cash was forked last year. A lot of people hated it. And I understand that part, but I actually think it's a good thing to have a Bitcoin Cash and to have a Bitcoin. Reason being is you have Bitcoin Cash trying to take over, literally trying to take over Bitcoin, literally calling themselves a new Bitcoin, right? Now, you can talk about whatever you want to talk about with that, but let's just look at those two points, right? Because those are valid points. You know, even Roger Ver says that that's what he's calling Bitcoin Cash. But I look at it a different way. I look at it as competition. And what drives competition makes you better. Whenever there's two people competing for the same position, or whenever there's, even like in football, basic terms, like there's a starting quarterback and a backup quarterback. So you have somebody like, what's his name? Tom Brady, right? So you have these people competing with each other in this space. Google and Apple is a perfect example of that. This is why the smartphone is the smartphone, right? It's because you have these companies competing with each other. Well, you have Bitcoin Core and you have Bitcoin Cash and you have Bitcoin Core working very hard, you know, to scale Bitcoin. Did you see, look at last year, for example. Last year we had Bitcoin prices. They were going really high, right? And the cost of transacting some of those was astronomical. We were paying like 20 bucks. I never did that. I never traded anything once I had my Bitcoin. But I remember it was literally like 10, 7 bucks to send some Bitcoin. And I was like, this is ridiculous, right? And so I didn't use it. You know, I would trade with Litecoin, whatever. I just stored my Bitcoin. What did the Bitcoin Core group do? They automatically fixed that. They fixed that very fast. You know, this is what I'm saying. This is why this technology is good. These are the things that Warren Buffett doesn't understand, is that you can have a technology like Bitcoin, and on the front facing of it, it looks like a cryptocurrency. It looks like it's trying to be, you know, digital gold, right? And it's true. That is true, right? But if you look behind the curtain, behind it, what's going on the blockchain, there's some interesting stuff going on there. Ethereum is another one. Yes, you can look at it like a digital token or digital cash, whatever you want to look at, right? But if you look behind what they're actually building, this is what people are investing in. They're not investing in just the price. I'm sure there's some people out there that are investing just in price alone, and that's the wrong approach. You're going to lose your money that way. This is why you need to listen to people that are in this space, right? You need to be educated in the space, and this is why, you know, This is why I do this podcast, is to educate the masses on what's actually going on behind the scenes and what this technology is going and where we see this, you know, running up to, right? Yes, it's fun to talk about coin, just like it's fun to talk about stocks rise and go up and down. And we all like that stuff. It's the fun part, right? That's the fun part. But if you actually look behind the surface, behind the curtain, you'll find that there's some interesting stuff going on there too. And that's why you have something like Stellar, you know, in the top 10. That's why you have something like Cardano in the top 10. You know, EOS is another one because of what they're building behind the scenes. Yes, it looks like you're betting on these cryptocurrencies and you're betting on the price. And like Warren Buffett says, and you're trying to just get somebody else to invest in it. No, that works for things that are just trying to be currencies. If you look at something like Verge, right? Verge is very much just trying to be a currency. Bitcoin Cash is very much just trying to be a currency. Litecoin is very much just trying to be a currency. ETC is very much just trying to be a currency. There's some cryptos out there that are just trying to be currencies, and that's fine. But there's some other ones out there that aren't trying to be currencies. Yes, and I know that the ones I just mentioned that are trying to be currencies probably aren't 100% trying to be currencies. I understand that. But for the sake of this discussion, I'm just going to say that they are, okay? But there's some other cryptos out there that aren't trying to do that. They're actually trying to scale, you know, everything forward, and they're trying to build something on top of this blockchain, right? And that's where the interesting stuff comes into play. You can have like a power ledger that's trying to build a decentralized, you know, power grid. And that could be really cool in like a little neighborhood where you have everybody sharing resources. But Warren Buffett doesn't see that because he doesn't understand that future. And this is where the dinosaur mentality comes from, is that you have these old dinosaurs, these old people that were involved in stocks, and they look at everything tangible. And that made sense in that time. But in this day and age, everything is digital. So there's less tangibility there. And I think he is looking at it the wrong way. So our next dinosaur is Charlie Munger.
He's anything but undecided. This weekend, Vice Chair Charlie Munger likened trading cryptocurrency to, quote, trading turds. The always eloquent Charlie Munger joins us now. Hi, Charlie. Thank you for being here. This is getting a lot of attention, more than it probably deserves, because there are much bigger issues that we deal with here. But, Charlie, did you know there was supposed to be a Bitcoin conference this weekend in Omaha? Had they asked, you could have been the keynote speaker. Would you have said yes?
Well, they were fairly crowded out by a group of people that wanted to have a conference on sewage.
When you called rat poison 5 years ago, right here in these chairs on Fox Business, you called it rat poison, but that was when it was about $150. Today it's $9,000. It had hit $19,000.
So it's more expensive rat poison.
But there are some people who were able to make some money. And we heard from people who are very passionate about this, and they said, oh, those guys are just trying to protect their old school investments in U.S. dollars. What do you say to that?
Well, I think these idiot booms do harm to a country. They frequently come to bad ends, and they cause economic consequences that are bad for the whole damn country. And so I like it when my country steps hard on idiot booms instead of fanning the flames. And if there's ever anything that needed stepping down on hard, it's Bitcoin.
That sounds like, to me, like an old man that is very upset that the establishment that he grew up to see is turning a different way. And somebody like him won't understand. He's an old white guy in his 80s, probably 90s by the looks of it. He has all the money in the world. He is somebody that probably has never worked a day in his life since he was probably like 16 years old. What he doesn't understand, there's people out here in America, his America as he's calling it, that are just not cutting it, man. There's some people that are just not able to make it day by day. There's inequality in the world. You know, there's inequality in the workspace. There's all these different components that are happening right now in this world. And the financial market is probably the crux of it all. It really is. So when something like Bitcoin and blockchain technology comes in there and shakes everything out, you have these old dinosaurs like him, so bitter because now the person that is, you know, working a minimum wage job right now to pay for his family's light bill, he can throw $50 into Bitcoin, or he can throw $50 into EOS or whatever, and he can turn that into $100 or $200 in 2 or 3 weeks. And it's upsetting to them because they don't understand the struggle that everyday Americans, his America, struggle with. He just doesn't understand that. He doesn't get that because he's well off. And I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. I'm not pointing fingers at him. I'm just saying that there's something that he just can't comprehend. And that's what he can't comprehend, is that people don't want to live like that. There's people all over the world right now that are suffering. They don't have enough to live by, you know? And it's very upsetting to me when I see people that are in his position that don't do anything about it. They have billions of dollars and they're not doing shit with it. They're literally just hoarding it. That's all they're doing. And you're talking to us about us being idiots, and this is an idiot boom. You have all the money. What do you care if it's an idiot boom? If Bitcoin and blockchain technology can change the world, which I think it is going to do, I really do believe that, you know, then just get out of the way and let it change the world. I'm going to play one last piece by Andreas because this kind of solidifies their logic and just makes sense.
And that industry doesn't like disruption because disruption cuts into the profit margin. And Bitcoin is disruptive. Bitcoin is not just a bit disruptive. Bitcoin isn't just a, hey, maybe we're going to have some competition from the payment networks. Bitcoin isn't like PayPal, which they were able to co-opt and gradually morph into a baby Visa. Bitcoin refuses to be co-opted in that way because it has certain pesky characteristics. Decentralization, open access, open protocols, you know, all the stuff they're trying to kind of cut off, remove, so they can turn it into a baby Visa. And Bitcoin refuses to go away, despite all of the smears and all of the bad language and all of the implications about it funding ISIS and drugs and things like that. Bitcoin is extremely disruptive in a way that we haven't yet realized. And even the people who are into Bitcoin don't really understand what's going on here. Let's look back a few years. Do you remember the dawn of MP3? I actually heard about MP3 about 2 years before Napster came out, when it was an obscure protocol from the Fraunhofer Institute in Germany. And they designed this lossy compression algorithm that was really effective. And I didn't get it. I didn't see that this was going to do anything. But gradually it started eating away at the music industry. And then with the invention of Napster, it turned every computer into a desktop music station. And suddenly the music industry was threatened. And so they fought Napster, and Napster turned into Kazaa, and they fought Kazaa, and Kazaa turned into LimeWire, and they fought LimeWire, and LimeWire turned into GNUtel, and they fought GNUtel, and they got BitTorrent, and then they gave up because they couldn't fight it anymore because it was decentralized. Bitcoin started that way. Bitcoin started where BitTorrent left off, in the you can't squash this mode. MP3 destabilized the music industry. What's the music industry? $100 billion? Peanuts! Peanuts! Apple swallowed it in a couple of years, right? When Bitcoin starts disrupting the banking industry, it's going to start applying something that in technology we call disintermediation. Disintermediation is when an industry you painstakingly built over 100 years becomes obsolete overnight. Disintermediation is when you and I want to do something and there's someone who helps us do that thing and suddenly we don't need them anymore. Now, when you do disintermediation in the music industry, it cuts the record labels out of the sweet deals, and it allows customers to work directly with artists. It allows artists to publish their music directly. And the record companies don't like that. But it's still, it's a little industry. When we start disintermediating the financial services industry, entire layers, which are currently multi-billion dollar industries, are going to evaporate overnight. Bitcoin is incredibly disruptive, and it's disruptive because of all of those little things that they pretend are not really important. So, what comes after bargaining? Anyone? Depression. Which is a great word, because financial depression already happened in 2008, and I think we're about to see a replay of that particular thing. Because the financial industry is not going into this fight ready for this fight. They're going into this fight leveraged up to their eyeballs with the worst reputation they've had in 200 years, with everyone under 18 thinking that banks are the worst thing ever invented and responsible for stealing their jobs, because they kind of did. And when you have an entire generation that hates you, and that's exactly the generation that's going to adopt this new technology, and you go into this fight leveraged up to your eyeballs, depression sets in pretty quickly. Now, some of the banks are going to be smarter, and they're going to skip right over and go to acceptance. We saw this with the internet. At first, everyone was banding together. The phone companies were like, we will not let this thing eat our long-distance market. I remember when I used to call home to Greece from my college in London, and to make a 10-minute conversation long-distance to Greece, I would have to get literally a stack of coins and feed them into the meter every 10 seconds or so. My entire family would line up on the other end of that call, and they would parade themselves in front of the telephone and do the, oh, hello, Andreas, this is Uncle John, how are you? Very well, thank you, yes, here's your Auntie Maria. Oh, hello, Maria, and you know, 15 seconds per person, carefully allocated, moving the line, keep the line moving, people, because I just spent £8 sterling to make a 15-minute phone call. When I testified in front of the Australian Senate, they said, you know, this is really difficult to arrange, and we thank you for speaking to us from such a great distance today. And my last words to the Australian Senate was, just remember that the phone companies didn't write the rules for the internet, and that's why I could do this. Because trust me, if the phone companies had written the rules for the internet, in the side of my Mac hair there'd be a little slot, and I would have to feed orders into it every 10 seconds of the Skype calls I made, just to preserve the long distance market. And when that was happening, eventually some of the companies decided they were going to break ranks and turn themselves into internet service providers. Now, this is going to be a lot harder to happen in the banking industry, because Bitcoin is a very, very difficult, bitter pill to swallow. The idea that banks are simply going to do a bit of blockchain and fight this disruption is ludicrous on its face, because doing a bit of blockchain doesn't serve the other 6 billion, because doing a bit of blockchain doesn't unleash a torrent of innovation that comes from open protocols and open access, because most importantly, a bit of blockchain with a centralized counterparty in the middle of every transaction takes us right back to the world we live in today, where control over money is control over freedom, and most of the world live as slaves. And Bitcoin is going to change that.
And he's exactly right. He's exactly right. Gosh, I can't wait. I can't wait. Anyways, with that, let's get on to the end of the show. We just want to party. Yeah, 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 yeah. Just
living now. This is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Don't catch you slipping now. Look what I'm whipping now. This is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Look how I'm living now. Police be tripping now. Yeah, this is America. Guns in my area. I got the strap. I gotta carry 'em. Yeah, yeah, I'ma go into this. Yeah, yeah, this is gorilla. Yeah, yeah, I'ma go get the bag. Yeah, yeah, or I'ma get the pad. Yeah, yeah, I'm so cold like, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm so dull like, yeah. We gon' blow like, yeah. Slipping now. Look what I'm whipping up. This is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Don't catch you slipping now. Look what I'm whipping up. Look how I'm geeking up. I'm so fitted. I'm on Gucci. I'm so pretty.
Yeah,
I'm on get it. Watch me move. This is Sally. That's a tool.
Yeah.
On my Kodak. Black. Know that.
Yeah,
know that. Ooh,
get it,
get it. Ooh, get it. 100 bands, 100 bands, 100 bands. Contraband, contraband, contraband,
contraband.
I got the plug on who a hawker.
Whoa,
they gonna find you like baka blah.
You know, things are changing, man. Things are changing. A lot of people think that the world is gonna be the same these next 5-10 years. I don't think it is. I think change is coming. And I think change for the good is coming, finally. This is why I love blockchain technology. This is why I love this space. Because all the opportunity that it provides for everybody around the world. Not just for you and me, but everybody. Buy Bitcoin, save the world. See you tomorrow.
This is the end of the show. You have been listening to the Thriller Podcast with Car Gonzalez. Remember, Thriller Podcast is not financial advice.